Vidyadhara, the Vidyadharas Sutra said, Vatmaya, by your external potency. Artam, human body, avipadya, after obtaining, kalevare, in the body, asmin, in this, kritva, having misidentified, mama, mine, aham, I, iti, thus, andurmati, ignorant people, utpatai, by wrong roads, svaya, by one's own belongings, kshipta, distracted, api, even, asat, temporary, vishaya lalasa, having happiness, Atma Moham, illusion of the body as the self. Yushmat, your. Kata, topics. Amrita, nectar. Nishevaka, relishing. Ut, from a long distance. Yudasyat, can be delivered. Translation of Vidyadhara said, Dear Lord, this human form of body is meant for attaining the highest perfectional objective, but impelled by your external energy, the living entity misidentifies himself with his body and with the material energy, and therefore, influenced by Maya, he wants to become happy by material enjoyment. He is misled and almost attracted by temporary illusory happiness, but your transcendental activities are so powerful that if one engages in the hearing and chanting of such topics, he can be delivered from illusion. Therefore, the human form of life is called Artada, because the body can very nicely help the embodied soul to achieve the highest perfection. Prahlad Maharaj said that even though temporary, the body can give us the highest perfectional achievement. In the process of evolution from the lowest to the higher, lower to the higher grade of living, the human form of life is a great boon. But Maya is so strong that in spite of achieving this great boon of the human form of life, we're influenced by temporary material happiness and forget our goal of life. We are attracted by things which cease to exist. The beginning of such attraction is the temporary body. In this horrible condition of life, there is only one way of liberation, to engage in the activities of transcendental chanting and hearing the holy name of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The words Yushmat Katamrata Sevaka mean those who engage in relishing the nectar of the topics of your worship. There are two narrative books which especially concern the words and activities of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is the instruction given by Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the book containing topics exclusive about Krishna and his devotees. These two books are the special nectar of the words of Krishna. for those who engage in the preaching of these two Vedic literatures, it is very easy to get out of the illusory conditional life imposed upon us by Maya. The illusion is that the conditioned soul does not try to understand its spiritual identity. He is more interested in his external body, which is only a flash, and which will soon be finished as soon as the time is designated. The whole atmosphere will change when the living entity has to transmigrate from one body to another. Under the spell of Maya, will again be satisfied in a different atmosphere. This spell of Maya is called Aravanatmika Shakti, because it is so strong that the living entity is satisfied in any abominable condition. Even if he's born as a worm living within an intestine or abdomen in the midst of Uranus, still he is satisfied. This is the covering influence of Maya. But the human form of life is a chance to understand, and if one misses this opportunity, he is most unfortunate. The way to get out of illusory Maya is to engage in the topics of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya advocated a process whereby everyone may remain in his present position without change, but simply hear from the proper authoritative sources about Krishna. Lord Chaitanya advised everyone to spread the word of Krishna. He advised, all of you become spiritual masters. Your duty is simply to talk to whomever you need of Krishna or the instructions given by Krishna. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is operating for this purpose. We do not ask anyone to first change his position and then come to us. Instead, we invite everyone to come with us and simply chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because we know that if one simply chants and hears the topics of Krishna, one's life will change. But he will see a new light and his life will be successful. Translation of the Jagadara said, Dear Lord, this human form of body is meant for attaining the highest perfectional objective, but impelled by your external energy, the living entity misidentifies himself with his body and with the material energy. And therefore, influenced by Maya, he wants to become happy by material enjoyment. He is misled and always attracted by temporary illusory happiness. But your transcendental activities are so powerful that if one engages in the hearing and chanting of such topics, can be delivered from illusion. So here's the Vidyadharas speak about the nature of the material world influenced by Maya. But Maya here is said to be belonging to the Lord. But Maya, it is your Maya. So therefore, the living entities in this material world are bewildered by Maya, which is actually the Lord's Maya. So it's under the control of the Supreme Lord. So whatever power is manifest by Maya is actually also the power of the Supreme Lord. So all the illusion that takes place, we find bewildering. So this bewildering aspect of Maya is also Shakti of the Lord. So we cannot separate Maya from the Lord. It does not operate independently. It is under the Lord's control. That does not mean that the Lord likes to see the living entities bewildered or suffering. Nevertheless, that Shakti is under the control of the Lord. So one might ask, well, if it's under the control of the Lord, then why does it make us suffer? Because Maya is making us suffer. So, yes, the Lord is the ultimate controller of this Maya, and it can do nothing without him. And it acts under his order. So whatever she does is with the permission of the Supreme Lord. So why does the Lord permit the living entities to be bewildered? And the answer to that is, this is the only way in which the jivas in the world can become happy. They cannot become happy unless they are bewildered. So it is the happiness in the material world is caused because of their ignorance, caused by Maya. And this way, they enjoy it. So we can, of course, ask, why do they want to become happy in the material world? That again is the ignorance of the jiva himself. So the jiva as amsa of the Lord has not got all intelligence, so he may make wrong choices. So if he chooses to try to be happy separate from the Lord, then the only way this can be done is by illusion. So the jiva can think he is happy enjoying material world with this material body. So maya functions for this purpose, to supply the happiness of the material world to the jiva. But it is not a perfect condition of happiness, for two reasons. One, the happiness is all temporary. Second, happiness itself is based on illusion, so how can it be satisfied? Added to that, we have duality, that is, we have happiness and suffering. So in this way, we have temporary happiness, we have a mixture of happiness and distress, and we have the illusion of happiness, which is not really satisfying. So this is the only type of happiness we can get in the material world. And many jivas are satisfied with this. So the more ignorant we are, then the more we're satisfied with this. So when we come up to the human species, if we're in tamago and as human species, still, we'll be satisfied. We'll just live, go on living. And we may suffer, whatever, we're satisfied. We don't ask questions. Now, if we get up to sattva-guna, then we start asking questions. Why do I have to suffer like that? What is the use of working in the material world like this? In sattva-guna, one gets vidya. This counteracts the avidya, or the ignorance. So one begins to break out of illusion in sattva-guna. That is why sattva-guna is praised in the Bhagavad Gita. That's better than the other modes. Because then you can actually begin to understand about Atma. So, knowledge is the beginning of getting out of ignorance of the material world. For that purpose, the Lord supplies scriptures to the living entity. Through the scriptures, the living entity can get knowledge. And in this way, he can break out of his illusion. Of course, there must be some desire for knowledge, otherwise the knowledge does not work. We have no desire for the knowledge, no matter how much we try to force you to read the scripture. You won't read it, or if you read it, you won't understand it. So there has to be a desire for that knowledge also. So the desire manifests nicely in sattva-guna and not very much in rajaguna, and very, very little in tamaguna. Very, very difficult to get that desire for knowledge. So it manifests nicely in sattva-guna. That way it is favorable. So this is the operation of the material world. Fortunately, however, the Lord is even more merciful than that, because most of the human beings are still tamaguna. That means they have no opportunity to get out of the material world at all. So the Lord gives more opportunity. How does he give the Lord more opportunity? That is, through the mercy of bhakti. So even if you're in tamaguna, in the material world, and can't understand anything spiritual, you can still get the mercy of bhakti. And it has effect. So it may come in very strange forms. In the case of Ajamil, that bhakti wasn't even bhakti. It was simply the name of the Lord, with no devotion and no intention of saying the name of the Lord. But it had effect, and ultimately it wiped out this person's ignorance, Ajamil's ignorance. So of course, if one contacts bhakti itself, not accidental chanting of the name, but then the effect of course is more powerful than that, even if one is in tamaguna. The holy name of the Lord is especially powerful. Even the names of Narayan or others, not just to speak of Krishna, are very powerful
even accidentally without bhakti, they are still powerful to elevate the jivas, human beings, ignorance. Yeah. So this is the remarkable feature of devotion. Of course, other types of devotion also work in the same way. There's a story of the mouse in the deity room. And so the mouse was like to eat things, nibble. So it liked to eat the giwiks in the deity room. So it started, there's one lamp burning there, and the mouse was hungry, so it started nibbling at the giwik. And in doing so, the giwik moved, and then the flame went very bright. And when it was bright, then it illuminated the deity. So the mouse did service for the deity by illuminating the deity. So got some benefit from that. So that's accidental again, and it's not the name, it is simply some sort of indirect service to the Lord, accidental service to the Lord. So why does that work? It's because the Lord is very, very merciful. Therefore, he's willing to bestow effects, even unintentional acts of devotion. The Lord will accept them. In this way, bhakti is very, very powerful because different acts of devotion are still have effect. Of the different types of devotion, however, the name is considered the most powerful. And therefore, we have stories like the story of Ajamil, in which accidental chanting delivered Ajamil. So the name is particularly powerful, the name of the Supreme Lord. And if the name is the name of Krishna, is he more powerful? That is illustrated in the story of Shishupala. Shishupala chanted the name of Krishna in hatred, not just accidentally, in hatred, insulting him. Even that name of Krishna was strong enough to purify him. this way all of his karmas got destroyed by chanting the Lord's name in hatred even. In this way we see the power of the name, and particularly the power of Krishna's name. So all the different types of bhakti, this is the most powerful. So bhakti in general will help the people even if they're in tamagun. And chanting the name is very, very powerful. And chanting the name of Krishna is most powerful to affect human beings in tamagun. So if the jivas are in tamagun in this material world, still, the process of bhakti is there. And the process of chanting the name of Krishna is there. This is made even better because the name of Krishna is made even more attractive because of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya comes as the Yuga Avatar, but he's more than the Yuga Avatar because he's not different from Krishna. But his role as Yuga Avatar is to deliver all the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. So therefore, he gives special mercy. So the name of the Lord coming through Lord Chaitanya, therefore, is very, very special, because that is endowed not only with the name of Krishna, but also with Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So therefore, we get more effects still. So if we take the chanting of Hare Krishna coming from Lord Chaitanya, then we have very, very powerful means of delivering everybody in Kali Yuga, which means the people in Kamgun. So, though ignorance is in the material world, and it is difficult to get out of this position, the Lord is very merciful, and he supplies us this nice process. So the Lord is not indifferent to the suffering of the jivas. Rather, he is very compassionate, finds all sorts of ways of delivering them. So the most powerful method is the chanting of the Lord's name, as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the actual way in which we can solve this problem of illusion in the material world. Right? Now, if we don't do this, there are other processes, as mentioned here in the Bhagavatam and other scriptures, but they're more indirect, more difficult to practice, take longer time, and they do not invoke the mercy of the Lord to the same degree. They do not please the Lord to the same degree. Therefore, not recommended at this time. For the chanting of the name is most powerful. So here the Vidyadhara say the service to the nectar of your words, Yushmataka Amrata Nishepaka, people who engage in hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord, they are delivered from this akamoha, this illusion of the material world. So they are indicating here that once you continually engage in hearing about the Lord and glorify the Lord, and this will deliver the fallen souls from the material world. So that is made more special in Kali Yuga by hearing about, hearing the name of the Lord and chanting the name of the Lord particularly. So this is the process we follow.
He had a heart attack. Then he could not find Hare Krishna. And he told his wife, then Parvati.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 1 month older,
yeah.
He had a heart attack in Malaysia. And he could not find Hare Krishna.
He chanted his wife's name.
He chanted his wife's name. Mm-hmm. And also, he's a big apradhi. So much offensive he would be in the
So if he names his wife after Krishna and Radha, then it's okay. He still gets some good effect. Yeah. Well, Ajamil also chanted the name of his son. Ajamil chanted Narayana, but his name of his son. It's still a good effect. So that is why one has to be very, very careful to fix the mind on Krishna and become attracted to Krishna's name. If we're not, then we'll be attracted to other things when we're dying or in accidents or whatever. So one has to have strong attachment to chanting and thinking of Krishna. Otherwise our mind will be distracted.
Another household of you is that I'm in the car, but I'm not attacked. And then the car on the side of the road. He was calling his wife's name. The children to Papa, Papa, you know, the man and family of the children. Chan Hare Krishna. They chanted Hare Krishna.
Well, that's good. His children help them.
And there is one more household that when he was leaving his body, you know, he was calling his wife's name.
Mm-hmm.
Attachment for his wife is very strong.
Yeah.
Very strong. But then the wife whispered to him, husband's ear, Chan Hare Krishna, Chan Hare Krishna.
Okay, good. So we can see that other attachments may be stronger, and therefore at the point of death we'll remember other things. So that is why the scriptures always emphasize that, especially as one becomes older, one should give up attachments and become more attached to the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, we can fall into this trouble of remembering the wrong things when you're dying. If you're not attached to other things, then it's more likely to be attached to Krishna. You've got all these other attachments, then you'll forget Krishna.
So by the jnana, one can renounce this.
Huh?
By jnana, one can renounce this.
Jnana. Yeah, jnana is good for renunciation. Of course, bhakti is also even the best, because if one becomes attracted to Krishna, automatically he's detached from everything. Is that? Well, if one realizes Krishna, automatically one realizes Atma also. If one is attracted to Krishna, then automatically he gets out of bodily consciousness.
We can understand, is it right to say that
Bhakti is?
Bhakti is also is the process, sadhana,
it's the process and the goal. Yeah? It takes two forms as sadhana, and then as the goal it becomes bhava and prema. But the same activities are there.
It is only they are done with more perfect devotion. That's all. So it's the same process. We don't have to give up the process and do something else on attaining. There's not a process to attain something else. It is only a fulfillment of what we're doing already, perfection of what we're doing. So it doesn't lead to anything else. It is actually called sadhana and sadhya. Sadhana is the practice, sadhya is the goal. So the sadhya and the sadhana are the same, actually. One is the perfect state and one is the imperfect state. Have to be simple.
I thought no, my and Jagat are rowdies. They could affect the person by seeing the Mahabharata and Mahabharata. But because Nama is very powerful, so why want to be simple because they affect the
person? Well, actually, the only qualification is faith, technically. Even without faith, we find it has effect, as in the case of Ajamil or Jagai and Mada, who didn't have faith at all. Still, it had power over them by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the other qualification we can say is Trinadapi Sinishna Tarabi Sinishna. One has to be humble and grass more taller than a tree. Then one can chant constantly. So, in other words, one has to have not a proud attitude, but a very sincere service attitude. Maybe that's what we could say is simplicity, that they are not proud and they don't have other ideas in their head. At least they are willing to submit to the Supreme Lord. So that type of attitude is favorable. Well, we do have the idea of compassion for all living entities, and that living entities are associated with where they get the effect. At the same time, we also have rules for deity worship, such as cleanliness. So we do also have to balance the two things out in all cases. We cannot just leave everything up to the insects and the rats and say, it's all mercy, Krishna's mercy, and they're getting mercy from Krishna. We also have to obey the rules of scripture concerning care of the deities. So we have to balance it out and see that deities are clean and kept well cared and whatever like that. We can give them mercy in other ways.
You cannot hear the voice through the mic when you are asking the questions, but it will be recorded in the camera, and shortly it will be